from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Isaac and Suk.
This is a tremendous opportunity for everyone in our department.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week on primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
We're proud to be here today and receive this invite and look forward to the future.
The Fan.
Hey, what's up? Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rop and Suk. Big Suk right over there. He's got tales to tell from his homeless encampment that he lives in later today.
I saw something, again, the best part about riding through there is you never know what you're going to see on any given day. And I saw something today that it's going to stick with me for a while.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
We have cocaine shark news tonight in the club.
Speaking of things that'll stick with you.
And a terrifying ordeal for one man. And it brings up a what would you do in this scenario?
Well, I was thinking about that with
we'll get to that.
We were talking about the lady that got mauled by the pack of dogs and got her arm, like an ear and an arm ripped off. Like, I was thinking, like, of the scenarios that you could find yourself in, that's one of the worst. Like, just the idea of 8 pit bulls or Rottweilers, big ass scary dogs, and just descend upon you. Like, and they're just the viciousness of that. I just can't think of a worse, like much of a worse scenario to find yourself in. It's just some poor lady just walking and then you're just a pack of wild dogs. Like you see those nature documentaries, like the hyenas, like jumping on something. You just have no chance.
Would you rather have that or the giant anaconda ambushing you?
I think I'd rather just deal with the anaconda. At least I got one thing, you know, like, I mean, look, you're not making out of there alive either way, but it'd be like the idea of like a pack of wolves or one bear. I think I'd rather just deal with the one bear. Like my ass is kicked either way, but at least I just have to somehow either play dead or get one thing to leave me alone or stab one thing in the eye and maybe it leaves me alone. But you got like 8 dogs coming at you. They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours. They are.
2 hours?
2 hours.
Jeez.
You know, and that's not a fast thing that happens. You know, they just
What makes them stop?
I don't know.
You know, like when they're gnawing on your arm.
Well, they rip it off. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Then they've got a couple of them that are fighting over your severed arm. I don't know.
See, I think that's why I'd choose the dogs, because there's a chance you live. Like this woman lived.
Yeah.
The anaconda, you're dying, dude. Well, that thing is constricting.
Well, she only lived though because other people came to help her. So I'm guessing if people came and helped you with the anaconda, like.
But is that why she only lived? I mean, I don't think we know that.
I mean, some people tried to intervene. They got hurt too.
Yeah, so maybe they went down too, and maybe the dogs just stopped. I mean,
the dogs got tired. They're like, eh, we got an ear and an arm, and points proven, you know, and then you go back to being, you know, you go back to your homeless encampment. I don't know. That story stuck with me. Like, as I saw the photos of that lady, she's a pretty gal and had a little kid there. And I just thought about what that must be like. And it just, that stuck with me all break. Just the idea of, because again, I do ride my bike through a sketchy area of homeless people because the things you see are kind of crazy. But I don't know, like if I'm riding on my bike and all of a sudden like three dogs jump on me and I go down on the bike.
That would be terrifying.
I kind of now maybe rethinking my strategy here.
What if, if three dogs started chasing you on your bike?
Yeah, I could outrun them.
You could outrun those?
Yeah.
Or does it depend where you are and the terrain that you're on?
No, the bike goes, like, you can get going pretty fast. There's no way a dog's catching me on
what
the
bike. What if then you hit a big hill?
Oh, now I'm in trouble. That's problematic, because you ain't going fast up the big hill.
A German Shepherd can run up to 30 miles an hour, a Greyhound 45.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, the Greyhound's going to get me. But you can get going pretty easily on a bike. You can get going 20.
Well, then the other one's going to get you too. They said
pit bulls reach a speed of 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, dude, I think they're chasing you down.
Bitch,
God, that would suck.
Yeah, right. Because when you do ride through there, they do have pit bulls. I've never actually been but necessarily chased by any of them. But they are out roaming around down there in that encampment that I kind of go through and. It certainly gets your attention when you see
them. A different route.
Yeah, but
or is it route?
Route. I know this is kind of making me rethink my.
Be careful, dude. I don't want to present you as a dead on in the news.
Take that L on the way out.
Seriously, I mean, I guess I think I head for the Barnes and Noble and maybe safety there. It's right across the street.
All right, it is time now for the Hot Five at 5:11.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Number five.
The Winter Olympics are returning to Salt Lake City, your homeland.
Yes.
In 2034.
They did a great job in the, what did that have been?
2002.
Yeah, because I was right at the tail end of that. They did a nice job there.
They beat out, well, no one.
No one wants them.
No one wanted the Olympics. Salt Lake was the only city that was considered.
Well, and Salt Lake has a lot of the infrastructure built up. But yeah, a lot of these places now, no one wants to spend the billions of dollars. The people don't want it. It's...
The idea of all these countries submitting bids now is essentially dead.
Yes.
You're going to get repeat host cities a lot from now on, I think.
Yeah. It's just a giant money waste for 2 weeks.
The U.S. also gets the Summer Games in 2028 as they will be returning to the City of Angels. Yeah.
So again, be prepared.
That's Los Angeles.
Hey, is UCLA there?
I don't know.
And USC.
I'm not sure.
If Deshaun Foster could tell us.
Yeah, if anybody would know, it'd be him.
No.
The coach.
Number four.
Niners coach Kyle Shanahan says the great Bill Belichick politely turned down the defensive coordinator position in San Francisco.
Yeah, he said basically he would give him any job he wanted. And Bill was like, yeah, no.
Shanahan adding that he can't believe Grumpy Bill isn't a head coach on a team right now.
I can't.
Offensive tackle Trent Williams of the Niners holding out of camp. Wants more monies.
Well, he is the best tackle in football, but the holdout thing is still, like, you're fined $50,000 a day for not being there. So, and they can't, they used to be you could waive those fines. They're not allowed to do that anymore. So... That's an expensive point you're trying to make there. See how many years he has left.
One NBA coaching note, Knicks give Tom Thibodeau a 3-year extension. He has led New York to the conference semifinals in back-to-back years. On the
fan. He's got a potential out, but he's signed for a couple more years. So they've got him... They've got him for a while.
Dozens more scholarships are coming to college sports. The NCAA increasing scholarly limits to 105 for football.
Yeah, some of the coaches wanted, like, they're trying to push for, like, 140.
Why?
I don't know.
Doesn't that just cost them more money?
They just wanted a bunch of players. But, you know, 104, and all these kids are going to be on scholarships
105.
Now. 105. Yeah, the walk-on thing is, so all these kids will be on scholarships.
So it used to be 85. Football goes up to 105. Baseball goes from 11.7 to 34.
Yeah.
Softball goes from 12 to 25, and volleyball goes from 12 to 18.
It's crazy that baseball, like, if you didn't know, even the Bauerhaus baseball programs, dude, those kids were getting, like, partial scholarships.
Yeah.
Because they only had so many to go around.
Yeah, so this is all part of the settlement in that House versus NCAA lawsuit.
Yes.
So.
But it will cost the schools more money, but the big ones will be fine.
Number two. The Rose Bowl wants out of the college football playoff semifinal rotation. They are pushing to keep their traditional New Year's Day 2 p.m. kickoff time slot.
Am I the only one at this point that thinks that the Rose Bowl is kind of an old, grumpy bitch?
Like, no, I think most people think that.
Just get over yourself.
They are the only bowl. If you think about it, they're the only bowl played on the same date and time every year.
Yeah.
Or at least supposed to be. Yeah. Reports some of their committee actually believe that ties to the Tournament of Roses on that day, January 1st, is as important as the game itself.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Narrator says it was not.
Yeah, they're trying to preserve that. If they get their wish, the Rose would be a college football playoff quarterfinal game each season. The final decision on this would be made by the College Football Playoff Management Committee.
The Rose Bowl should be the championship of football every season. The Rose Bowl is glorious, but they're being weird.
Well, they want to play on the first, though.
Yeah, and they still want the Pac-12. Oh, wait. No. That's done. So who even plays in the...
Well, it's going to be a quarterfinal team.
So.
Let's do it.
That's it, baby.
So they're already losing the Pac-12 Big Ten thing. For a myriad of reasons. One, it's now a playoff game, and two, the Pac-12's not even a thing.
Number one.
And the Mariners managed just one run today. They lose to the Angels 2-1. They get swept. The Astros rolled the A's 8-1. Houston, their lead in the AL West, is now one. Yep.
The Mariners have officially blown a 10-game lead in that division.
Well, they did it fast.
Yes, they did. I mean, they have been absolutely...
In a month.
They've been dreadful. And, I mean, getting swept by the Angels is one thing, but did they score more than two runs in any of those games?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, it's...
Ridiculous.
It is so bad. And now they got a bunch of injuries, and it's all over.
Other finals, Rockies put up 20 on the Red Sox. 20-7. Brewers over the Cubs, 3-2. Pirates shut out the Cards, 5-0. Reds over the Braves, 9-4. You got the Mets and the Yankees going at it. 3-2 Mets, bottom of four.
Yeah, we already gave the Yankees the business yesterday, and we're doing it again.
You guys can't be stopped.
Pete Alonso with a two-run shot to take the lead. Thank you very much.
The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Is it too early for Big Ten football betting lines?
Seriously, look at this. Just... This is the
say
this,
no.
It's no. The answer
Thank
is
you.
No.
Thank
but
you.
This is the Mariners' last handful of games. 2-1, 5-1, 3-1. That's getting swept by the Angels. They lost to the Astros 4-2, 3-0. And then remember they got beat by the Angels for 3 before the break, 3-2, 2-1, and then that big 6-5 loss that they have. I mean, it's abysmal.
It's embarrassing.
It really is. I mean, it's one thing to be on a losing streak. It's another thing to be on a losing streak and scoring two runs.
Their pitcher should boycott.
Yeah, somewhere Felix Hernandez is just sitting back in his chair and weeping. It's like, it's just,
or he's like, hey, give me a bat. I'll hit better than these punching Judys.
Couldn't be much worse.
All right, Big Ten football betting lines next on The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, we had two different texts from two different listeners asking for a welfare check with how bad the Mariners are playing. One is for your brother.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I did text him. I simply said, welfare check, yeah. ?
No.
And he has not responded. Mm. So that's not good.
No.
And the other one is Softy from KJR.
He's probably, well, I was going to say he's probably crying, but my guess is it's not a tearful thing. It's just a lot of red-faced swearing and yelling.
Who do you think's taking it worse? Probably your brother. He's more of a fan.
I don't know, man. Softy.
Is he a big Mariner guy?
Oh, dude, he's anything in Seattle. Like, he cries and yells and screams, and it's a whole thing.
But he's not even from there, is he?
Yeah, he's from there. He's from there. Oh. He's from up. I don't know. I don't know. I don't talk to either one of them. So
You're two favorite people.
I couldn't tell you.
You're probably loving this. You're like, suck it, John. Suck it, Softy.
I'm pretty sure, based on the Twitter timeline, that John was at the game in Oakland today watching the Mariners, was at the game in Anaheim watching the, or no, the in Seattle, excuse me, watching
Good
Mariners
grief.
Lose. Yeah,
you're
I know.
Fuck, you having a stroke?
Yeah, I'm getting mixed up with the A's-Astros game, but I'm pretty sure it was just he was at the Mariners game in Seattle.
Deshaun Foster?
Yeah, something like that. I had more to say than Deshaun, though.
Well, anyway, Mariners suck. But hey, they have time to get it corrected.
They should probably get on that. Although, according to their general manager, don't expect any help coming because, well...
He can't pull off a trade.
Can't pull off a trade because everyone else wants to pull off a trade, too.
Okay, you guessed the line. Big All Ten right. football, early odds
okay.
for their biggest games, okay?
Let's go.
Colorado is playing at Nebraska.
That's a big game.
Well, it's an old rivalry. Remember, last year was a big deal.
Yeah. And by the way, Colorado won that because that was the one. Was it Sims was the Nebraska quarterback that played arguably the worst game I've ever seen in my entire
life?
He
might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
It's so bad. And now they got the Raiola kid who's a freshman, but still.
Five-star freshie.
Yeah. Although, dude, we've seen a lot of five-star freshmen lately that have not been very good. See, Dante Moore. Who is the kid at Arizona State that's now at Georgia?
Jalen Rashada.
Jalen Rashada. Yeah, some of these five-star kids that come in, it's not exactly lighting the world on fire. Arch Manning can't even get on the field.
So this game is at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Nebraska is favored by 3.5.
They are favored by 5.
Okay.
So pretty close.
Yeah.
I also, well, I don't know, Shedeur Sanders. I mean, I think Nebraska, I like Matt Rhule.
Do you?
I do. I think he's a good coach.
Have you seen Nebraska lately?
Well, he just got there. I mean, look, he has won everywhere he's gone. You talk about these college coaches that
That's not true. He didn't win the NFL.
Well, I know. I'm saying college. He turned around Temple, for God's sakes.
He did turn around Temple.
Baylor. I mean, he's really good. I think Nebraska will take a step up.
I was going to see if they were playing better at the end of the year, you know, because they were dreadful at the beginning.
What was their record last year?
They just didn't
have an offense.
They went 5-7. Yeah. They went 5-7. I was looking to see at the end of the year, because sometimes, you know, at the end of the year, if you're playing better. But no, they lost three in a row they lost four in a row to end the season. But although they were close, lost by 3 to Michigan State, 3 to Maryland. Lost to Wisconsin in overtime, and they lost to Iowa by 3, 10-13. So, by your, you know.
I remember that Iowa game. They almost won that.
So, you look at that, and.
I bet on that.
I could see that being a bounce back because, again, he's a good coach. And you're losing close games. So, you take a step forward, you get some good play out of your quarterback. They're not winning 10 games, but yeah, I could see that being an 8-win team.
So it's Nebraska -5, I think, value on the Huskers. Iowa State playing at Iowa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Iowa.
Cy-Hawk game.
Yeah, Iowa is, there are some people that think that Iowa could be a sneaky team because every year they play great defense, and supposedly they finally committed to not sucking at offense. I'm going to say Iowa, and you said, where is it at?
It's in Iowa City.
Okay.
So that's where Iowa is.
I'm going to still say Iowa. Boy, it terrifies me to say Iowa as a big favorite. But I'll say Iowa by 4.
Iowa -2.
Okay.
Tim Lester's new-look Iowa offense wants to spread things out.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz said at the media days that he thinks they could have a real good offense.
They have the potential to have a good offense this season.
It can't be any worse. I mean, I'll tell you what, though. If he comes in, this Lester comes in, and just it's the same offense, then it's like the Mariners in their hitting. It doesn't matter who you bring in. It doesn't matter what the coach is. There's just certain places that it's some sort of Brady Bunch idol curse. Like, you come to Iowa, and you just, unless you're a tight end, you are going to suck at offensive football.
By the way, I just got an update from your brother,
mm-hmm.
who was at the Mariner game today.
Yeah.
And he says it's way worse in person.
Mm.
And then he shot me a picture and he said, this is what I saw when I walked out of the stadium. And it's one of those Jesus guys, you know?
Yeah.
Outside the stadium with the megaphone.
Yeah, yelling out, we're all going to hell.
And his sign reads, ask me why you deserve to burn in hell.
Oh.
And John said, I'm pretty sure I know the answer. poor sad John.
That's tough.
Texas at Michigan. This is good. Did you know they were playing? Oh, wait. No, wait. Yeah.
Did you
know they were playing? Well,
you have a stroke?
Well, no, but.
Did Buck's stroke jump over to you?
For a second, I was thinking Texas. Oh, wait. Texas no. joined the league. Wait, no, they didn't. They joined the SEC. Wait, this is a non-league game. Wait, who am I? Who's winning? What is occurring? Texas at Michigan.
Texas is going to be favored.
What is occurring?
Texas is going to be favored by 5.
Texas -5.
Hey, look at that.
Nailed it.
Well, a lot of people are, you know, don't really believe in Michigan. They only bring back, I think, 4 starters. It's a new coach. You know, they're good recruiters, but it's not necessarily like top, you know, it's not Georgia. So a lot of people think they're going to take a big step back. And Texas is just, people are slobbering all over Texas saying that this is a national championship type team. And I mean, to be fair, they got into the playoff last year, didn't get over the hump. Washington gave it to them, but you know.
Well, they have Quinn Ewers back.
Yep.
And they added a bunch of transfer receivers.
Mm, they got the kid out of Alabama, Isaiah Bond. And, you know, and they're saying that along the fronts, even though they lost their 2 best defensive linemen, they're saying that it's they got NFL bodies littered along the front line. So a lot of faith right now in Texas. I'll need to see it. I'm not a big Sark guy, but. You know, Texas should handle Michigan with what they have coming back.
Here's another good non-con game. Alabama at Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're traveling up to Camp Randall.
That's kind of fun. Bama will
meet Tyler Van Dyke.
Bama will be favored by, they'll be favored by 6.5, 7.
8.
8.
Alabama -8.
All right, so I'm in the ballpark on most of these.
Wisconsin,
I don't know a whole lot about what Luke Fickell has going on up there. I need to do a little dive into the old Badgers.
But they do have Tyler Van Dyke.
which is
Van Dimes.
Van Dimes. He's not bad.
He got that trademarked, Tyler Van Dimes.
He was at Miami.
He was at Miami.
He could throw a little.
Yeah. Like they,
he's not like your typical Wisconsin quarterback.
No, no. And hopefully under Fickell, like, again, that's another place that you would hope that eventually, like, you know, expand some offensive play. Yeah, you don't have to run the ball 70 times a game.
He's trying.
Defense. You're allowed to throw the ball. You know, you can be good throwing the ball in today's modern college football. And then I'm interested in the DeBoer thing because who was our bro at Indiana that just said, Google me, I win everywhere I go?
Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, that guy who just, you know, is going to be an ass. Kalen DeBoer, all he does is win everywhere he goes. And dude, I know it got off to a rough start. A bunch of people were transferring out of Alabama. Dude, they say that he has stabilized that thing, that he is recruiting like a mother bear, which he didn't do at UW. Mm. And I've been listening to a lot of the football pundits or whatever that say that there is some juice down there at Alabama. And they're just saying everyone that thought that Alabama would tailspin after this and that DeBoer was a bad hire, there's some talk down there that Alabama might have something for some people.
Well, why would anyone say Kalen DeBoer's a bad hire?
I just think it was the idea of, it was like beneath Alabama. That wow. Who is this DeBoer guy? Well, he's the guy
who would they want? I mean, you're following a legend.
Exactly.
So I think it's one thing to say, look, nobody can keep up the pace of Nick Saban.
Yeah.
That's one thing. It's another to say that Kalen DeBoer is a bad hire. Well,
they probably think they should get Kirby Smart because they're delusional.
Well, and I think the idea was that originally that it was Dabo, and now Dabo's not good enough because he's, even though he won two national titles and beat you. But I think it was the idea that supposedly they went Sniffen, Lanning, Sark, and Norvell, and none of them supposedly were interested in the job. And so when you're Alabama and you take your fourth best choice, and again, it's not Nick Saban. And you know, those people down in Alabama have never even heard of Washington. They're like, where was this guy at? And someone's like, dude, he played for the national title last year.
And he don't recruit?
I don't recruit? What are you talking about? He played for a national title. We win national titles here.
Fans are stupid.
They are dumb.
Kalen DeBoer was a good hire.
I think now, Kalen DeBoer will do
is
good.
He Nick Saban? No.
No
so
one
that's,
is.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You're going to have to live with that, but USC at Michigan, the Trojans, first season in the Big Ten comes with a roadie at the Big House.
No one loves USC. Michigan's down. I'll say Michigan by 3.
Michigan minus 9.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
How about that?
Give me the points.
I will go ahead right now and lay a nice little sawbuck down on USC getting 9 points.
Get after it, bro.
Let's go.
I've got 5 more, including Ohio State, Oregon, the top Big Ten games of the season.
Well, and can we just say that's the best game of the year?
And
things can change, but as it sits right now, the game of the year is in, I think, October 12th in Autzen Stadium.
Oh, look at you. You already have the date.
That's like the marquee weekend of the year, and that might be the best game on the entire slate.
It's that thing's just going to be juicy.
We'll get to that next. But first, Buck with Sports Center. All right, well, since it's Big Ten Media Week, and we have had 0 Big Ten media interviews, which is great. Just our show, I mean. Yeah. It's over by the time we're on the air. But
Danny
and
lots of them on the air.
Yeah, Danny and Dusty had Matt Rhule today. Miller Moss, is that the guy's name?
Yes, USC quarterback.
He was on Dirt and Sprague show. So if you missed any of this stuff, there's a bunch of Big Ten interviews. You can get it on our app, the Odyssey app, podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. The whole thing.
Get a podcast here, podcast there. Everyone's got a podcast.
But we're going through the top 10 Big Ten football games and the odds. Colorado at Nebraska was Huskers minus 5. Mm-hmm. Iowa State at Iowa was Hawkeyes minus 2. Texas at Michigan, Longhorns minus 5. Bama at Wisconsin, Alabama minus 8. And USC at Michigan was Wolverines minus 9.
Boy, that is just, again, that may just be the idea that Michigan will run the ball 39 million times and USC won't stop it.
Now, here are the top 5 Big Ten games. These are all league games. Mm-hmm. We start with Ohio State at Penn State.
Ohio State by 3.
5.
Okay.
Oregon at Michigan.
Duckies by... Duckies by 5.
Oregon minus 4.
Okay.
That is the best offensive line against the best defensive line.
I just don't know if Michigan has enough
in the Big Ten
enough firepower. to handle Oregon if it doesn't turn into just a, you know, a ground and pound sort of thing. Well, maybe the Michigan quarterback, you know, maybe that surprised you a bit. Again, we don't really know what Michigan's going to look like. They only have four returning starters. So that's interesting. The only one of these, by the way, that has surprised me is the USC Michigan line. Everything else has been, you know, within a point or two of what we thought.
Penn State at USC.
Well, boy, they've certainly given USC no credit whatsoever when they're playing Michigan, and Penn State is highly thought of. I'll say Penn State on the road. Give me Penn State by 6.
Penn State minus 5.
Okay. Just no love, by the way, for USC.
Nope.
That may be, again, the more I think about that, the more I wonder if USC's got a little something up their sleeve for people.
And finally, we have Michigan at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the last 3 years haven't been kind, but I'm going to go Ohio State by, let's go 4.
Ohio State minus 10.
10?
Yep.
Good Lord.
I think they're looking at the revenge factor
the revenge factor.
Well, it's in the horseshoe.
Last year was close. The two previous years, Michigan just beat them up. But yeah, they're saying this Ohio State team is one of the 5 best Ohio State teams they've ever had, which, you know, it's interesting because it just, you know, the quarterback, if it ends up being Will Howard, he's good, but like Will Howard isn't, you know, he's not the most dynamic, thrower of the ball. And there's a bunch of skilled guys there that are NFL guys, but, you know, it's not that wide receiver room that you look at and you're just terrified of like it has been in years past. And, you know, as good as some of like Sawyer and some of their defensive linemen are, this isn't the Bosa brothers and Chase Young, but I guess they're saying just the depth and some of the transfer guys that got in, they're just saying this is just a deep, there are no weaknesses on this Ohio State team.
And the number one game in the Big Ten is Ohio State at Oregon.
Yep. It's the game of the year.
And the point spread?
Ohio State will be favored by 2.5.
1. It's damn near a pick'em. Isn't that wild? And it says here that Ohio State can get revenge for a loss to the Ducks 3 years ago, mm-hmm. which I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah,
I guess so.
And that was the one, too. Like anyone that thinks that Oregon isn't prepared to go into the Big Ten, like they went into Ohio State's house with, look, not a great quarterback.
Who was it?
It was the Boston College transfer.
What was his name?
Why can't I think of his name? Brown. What was his first name?
Anthony Brown.
But anyway, with Anthony Brown, your best defensive player in Kayvon Thibodeau was hurt. And that, by the way, that was CJ Stroud, like who turned out to be pretty good. And those were good Ohio State teams. Had all the dynamic receivers, CJ Stroud. And Oregon, that wasn't a fluke. Oregon beat them up. Oregon was more physical than them on both sides of the ball. So, and Oregon is a really, really good run team. So this, I don't know, just this idea that Oregon isn't going to be able to handle Big Ten play. I mean, they took.
What more do you want?
What more do you want?
Well, they went to Michigan and beat them too.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, they beat them up there too.
Last two times they've played at Michigan, at Ohio State, they've won.
Yeah, this isn't some soft.
By double digits.
This isn't some soy boy, soft West Coast team coming in there.
Liberal snowflakes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a physical, rugged team. So, I mean, but that says something that the number one team in the country is coming to your place and it's basically a pick 'em game.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
And by the way, when you look at the schedules, both of those teams should be undefeated.
Great.
They should be. There's not a lot of stumbling blocks for either one of those teams before they meet each other.
Side note on that game, now that Oregon has jumped to the Big Ten, are they ever, I mean, I guess the Ohio State-Oregon game that they didn't play won't happen.
No.
Right?
It just becomes a conference
game. It's just gone.
Yeah.
Like this game, I was thinking, well, wait, that's the other of the home and home. But no, it's not. It's
just a conference
totally game. Different.
Yeah. You know, we're still getting some decent non-conference games. As you mentioned, Texas is playing Michigan, and we'll still get those. But, you know, now with these conferences, and the playoffs, the one thing you'll say about this new super conference and the expanded playoff, we will get more marquee games. And hopefully the preseason doesn't just turn into Sister Mary of the Poor. I hope that teams at least schedule one or two big non-conference games. But I think there'll be a feeling out process because, again, the idea of now with the expanded playoff, you don't have to be undefeated. So I can see the argument of you should schedule harder non-conference games because they're not as punitive. If you lose them, it's not a big deal. I don't have to be perfect anymore. But I can also see the logic of if I don't schedule anyone in the non-con, dude, I don't have one mulligan. I got two mulligans.
Yeah.
You know, if I just,
oh, and you have a tough league.
Yeah, I got a tough league, and I can go through a tough league. Think about that. Like if you are, let's just take, you want to take Oregon or Ohio State, whatever their schedule is, and because we looked at Oregon has what the big ones. They've got Ohio State, they got Michigan, they got Wisconsin, and they got SC too, right? Or do they got UW?
No.
I don't think they get USC.
I don't think they do.
So if you're Oregon, because you don't really play anyone in the non-con, right? I think Boise State.
The other one for Oregon, I guess you can make the case it's Michigan State. But generally the big three are Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Two of those three on the road. They of course, host Washington. Yeah. They host Michigan State.
So you think about this. Because you play Idaho, Boise, and Oregon State, which is just bizarre that's now a non-conference game, but like none of those games should be a problem. Like you're going to be massive three touchdown favorites in all of those games. Oregon can lose Ohio to Ohio State, and as long as they don't get bludgeoned, and they can lose to, they can lose to their two best games. They can lose to Ohio State and Michigan, and as long as those are somewhat competitive games, Oregon's still in the playoff, and your best win at that point would be Washington or Wisconsin?
Playoffs.
So, there is, this idea of like, oh, we'll get all these great non-conference games now. Not so certain that we will. I think there may be some schools that look at this and be like, dude, this is almost a layup. Yeah. As long as we start with a high enough record and we don't get blown out, dude, we're fine. We only play three hard games a year. We can lose two of them and still end up in the playoffs.
Well, the SEC kind of already does this.
Yes.
So, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, the two best leagues, you don't need to prove yourself out of conference.
No.
That ship sailed.
So, I hope it doesn't go that way. I hope we still get some of the big non-con games. Like, Texas and Michigan's awesome. I love that.
That's so is Alabama, Wisconsin.
Yes.
At
Camp Randall.
Camp Randall, that's great.
Freaking great. And I hope we get those, and I hope we still get some of the neutral site games. And now that we've got the SoFi and, what's the Raiders? Is it Allegiant?
Allegiant.
Like, we should get more of those now, like, quote, neutral site games out west. Like, that, I want that. Give me more of that. And teams having some balls now that you don't have to be perfect. I hope that teams get aggressive with those scheduling, but I'm not holding my breath.
You know, the Badgers, they host Alabama, Oregon, and Penn State this year.
It's a hell of a schedule.
That's a nice home schedule for the home fans up
there.
Yeah,
yeah. And, don't sleep on Wisconsin. That's a tough place to go play. Luke Fickell's a good coach, and, maybe that's a team that, again, I don't know if a playoff team, but if you told me that Wisconsin gets a hide on their wall, one of those, wouldn't shock me at all. Wouldn't shock me one bit if Wisconsin pulls off one of those upsets.
Who's ready for Big Ten football?
It's the Big Ten! Which is still just so damn weird.
Go play intramurals, brother.
The first time Oregon, they opened it with Idaho, and the Big Ten logo is on the field at Autzen, that is going to be just bizarre.
It's already strange seeing some of those jerseys at Media Day with the Big Ten patch on them.
Yeah.
But at least now everyone knows that UCLA is in LA.
And
With USC.
So yeah. I liked that Deshaun Foster made sure that we know it's not just UCLA.
Should we replay that?
We should.
Because
it's amazing.
We may have a new audience now. Yeah. We'll do that next. If you didn't hear, you may not know what we're talking about there. Boy, I tell you what, Big Ten Media Day, the story today was Deshaun Foster's introductory 45-second press conference.
It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. You'll hear that next on The Fan. All right, well, we're done sports, and we'll have the club next, but want to play this for you. We opened the show with this, and we'll play it for you again in case you missed the opening of our program. The Big Ten Media Day, they threw up UCLA coach Deshaun Foster up there.
And turns out they shouldn't have. Has anyone ever not sent their head coach? Like you could send like you know, like a quarterback's coach or something.
Just give him a 3x5 card. Little
someone
card.
At UCLA should have been like, guys, we can't do this.
Maybe he thought there was gonna be a teleprompter.
Or it's like sending Biden out to the debate stage. Someone should have been like, no, no.
Somebody did say that they thought maybe Deshaun was caught off guard that he had to give a statement. He just thought maybe it was questions. And so then he didn't know what to say. Well,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, well, since it's Big Ten Media Week, and we have had 0 Big Ten media interviews, mm-hmm. which is great, no, just our show, I mean, yeah. it's over by the time we're on the air. But Danny and
on the air.
Yeah, Danny and Dusty had Matt Rhule today. Miller Moss, is that the guy's name?
Yes, USC quarterback.
He was on Dirt and Sprague show. So if you missed any of this stuff, there's a bunch of Big Ten interviews. You can get it on our app, the Odyssey app, podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. The whole thing.
Get a podcast here, podcast there. Everyone's got a podcast.
But we're going through the top 10 Big Ten football games and the odds. Colorado at Nebraska was Huskers -5. Mm-hmm. Iowa State at Iowa was Hawkeyes -2. Texas at Michigan, Longhorns -5. Bama at Wisconsin, Alabama -8. And USC at Michigan was Wolverines -9.
Boy, that is just, again, that may just be the idea that Michigan will run the ball 39 million times and USC won't stop it.
Now, here are the top 5 Big Ten games. These are all league games. Mm-hmm. We start with Ohio State at Penn State.
Ohio State by 3.
5.
Okay.
Oregon at Michigan.
Duckies by Duckies by 5.
Oregon minus 4.
Okay.
That is the best offensive line against the best defensive line.
I just don't know if Michigan has enough
in the Big Ten.
Enough firepower to handle Oregon if it doesn't turn into just a, you know, a ground and pound sort of thing. Oh, maybe the Michigan quarterback, you know, maybe that surprised you a bit. Again, we don't really know what Michigan's going to look like. They only have 4 returning starters. So that's interesting. The only one of these, by the way, that has surprised me is the USC Michigan line. Everything else has been, you know, within a point or two of what we thought.
Penn State at USC.
Well, boy, they've certainly given USC no credit whatsoever when they're playing Michigan, and Penn State is highly thought of. I'll say Penn State on the road. Give me Penn State by 6.
Penn State minus 5.
Okay. Just no love, by the way, for USC.
Nope.
That may be, again, the more I think about that, the more I wonder if USC's got a little something up their sleeve for people.
And finally, we have Michigan at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the last 2 years haven't, actually the last 3 years haven't been kind, but I'm going to go Ohio State by, let's go 4.
Ohio State minus 10.
10?
Yep.
Good Lord.
I think they're looking at the revenge factor there.
Yeah, the revenge factor.
Well, it's in the horseshoe.
Last year was close. The two previous years, Michigan just beat them up. But yeah, they're saying this Ohio State team is one of the 5 best Ohio State teams they've ever had, which, you know, it's interesting because it just, you know, the quarterback, if it ends up being Will Howard, he's good, but like Will Howard isn't, you know, he's not the most dynamic, thrower of the ball. And there's a bunch of skilled guys there that are NFL guys, but, you know, it's not that wide receiver room that you look at and you're just terrified of like it has been in years past. And, you know, as good as some of like Sawyer and some of their defensive linemen are, this isn't the Bosa brothers and Chase Young, but I guess they're saying just the depth and some of the transfer guys that got in, they're just saying this is just a deep, there are no weaknesses on this Ohio State team.
And the number one game in the Big Ten is Ohio State at Oregon.
Yep. It's the game of the year.
And the point spread?
Ohio State will be favored by 2.5.
1. It's damn near a pick'em. Isn't that wild? And it says here that Ohio State can get revenge for a loss to the Ducks 3 years ago, mm-hmm. which I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah,
I guess so.
And that was the one, too. Like anyone that thinks that Oregon isn't prepared to go into the Big Ten, they went into Ohio State's house with, not a great quarterback.
Who was it?
It was the Boston College transfer.
What was his name?
Why can't I think of his name? Brown. What was his first name?
Anthony Brown.
But anyway, with Anthony Brown, your best defensive player in Kayvon Thibodeau was hurt. And that, by the way, that was CJ Stroud, who turned out to be pretty good. And those were good Ohio State teams. Had all the dynamic receivers, CJ Stroud. And Oregon, that wasn't a fluke. Oregon beat them up. Oregon was more physical than them on both sides of the ball. So, and Oregon is a really, really good run team. So this, I don't know, just this idea that Oregon isn't going to be able to handle Big Ten play. I mean, they took...
What more do you want?
What more do you want?
Well, they went to Michigan and beat them, too.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, they beat them up there, too.
Last 2 times they've played at Michigan, at Ohio State, they've won.
Yeah, this isn't some soft...
By double digits.
This isn't some soy boy, soft West Coast team coming in there.
Liberal snowflakes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a physical, rugged team. So, I mean, but that says something, that the number one team in the country is coming to your place, and it's basically a pick'em game.
Yeah. That's going to be great.
And by the way, when you look at the schedules, both of those teams should be undefeated.
Great.
They should be. There's not a lot of stumbling blocks for either one of those teams before they meet each other.
Side note on that game, now that Oregon has jumped to the Big Ten, are they ever... I mean, I guess the Ohio State-Oregon game that they didn't play won't happen.
No.
Right?
It just becomes a conference
game. It's just gone.
Yeah.
Like this game, I was thinking, oh, wait, that's the other of the home and home. But no, it's not. It's
Yeah, it's just a conference
totally game. Different.
Yeah. You know, we're still getting some decent non-conference games. As you mentioned, Texas is playing Michigan, and we'll still get those. But, you know, now with these conferences, and the playoffs, the one thing you'll say about this new super conference and the expanded playoff, we will get more marquee games. And hopefully the preseason doesn't just turn into Sister Mary of the Poor. I hope that teams at least schedule one or two big non-conference games. But I think there'll be a feeling out process because, again, the idea of now with the expanded playoff, you don't have to be undefeated. So I can see the argument of you should schedule harder non-conference games because they're not as punitive. If you lose them, it's not a big deal. I don't have to be perfect anymore. But I can also see the logic of if I don't schedule anyone in the non-con, dude, I don't have one mulligan. I got two mulligans.
Yeah.
You know, if I just,
oh, and you have a tough league.
Yeah, I got a tough league, and I can go through a tough league. Think about that. Like if you are, let's just take, you want to take Oregon or Ohio State, whatever their schedule is, and because we looked at Oregon has what the big ones. They've got Ohio State, they got Michigan, they got Wisconsin, and they got SC too, right? Or do they got UW?
No.
I don't think they get USC.
I don't think they do.
So if you're Oregon, because you don't really play anyone in the non-con, right? I think Boise State.
Yeah, the other one for Oregon, I guess you can make the case it's Michigan State. But generally the big three are Ohio State, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Two of those three on the road. They of course, host Washington. Yeah. They host Michigan State.
So you think about this. Because you play Idaho, Boise, and Oregon State, which is just bizarre that that's now a non-conference game, but like none of those games should be a problem. Like you're going to be massive three touchdown favorites in all those games. Oregon can lose Ohio to Ohio State as long as they don't get bludgeoned, and they can lose to, they can lose to their two best games. They can lose to Ohio State and Michigan, and as long as those are somewhat competitive games, Oregon's still in the playoff, and your best win at that point would be Washington or Wisconsin?
Playoffs.
So, there is, this idea of like, oh, we'll get all these great non-conference games now. Not so certain that we will. I think there may be some schools that look at this and be like, dude, this is almost a layup. Yeah. As long as we start with a high enough record and we don't get blown out, dude, we're fine. We only play three hard games a year. We can lose two of them and still end up in the playoffs.
Well, the SEC kind of already does this.
Yes.
So, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, the two best leagues, you don't need to prove yourself out of conference.
No.
That ship sailed.
So, I hope it doesn't go that way. I hope we still get some of the big non-con games. Like, Texas and Michigan's awesome. I love that.
That's awesome. So is Alabama, Wisconsin.
Yes.
At
Camp Randall.
Camp Randall, that's great.
Freaking great. And I hope we get those, and I hope we still get some of the neutral site games. And now that we've got the SoFi and, what's the Raiders? Is it
Allegiant?
Allegiant. Like, we should get more of those now, like, quote, neutral site games out west. Like, that, I want that. Give me more of that. And teams having some balls now that you don't have to be perfect. I hope that teams get aggressive with those scheduling, but I'm not holding my breath.
You know, the Badgers, they host Alabama, Oregon, and Penn State this year.
It's a hell of a schedule.
That's a nice home schedule for the home fans up there.
Yeah, yeah. And, don't sleep on Wisconsin. That's a tough place to go play. Luke Fickell's a good coach, and, maybe that's a team that, again, I don't know if a playoff team, but if you told me that Wisconsin gets a hide on their wall, one of those, wouldn't shock me at all. Wouldn't shock me one bit if Wisconsin pulls off one of those upsets.
Who's ready for Big Ten football?
It's the Big Ten! Which is still just so damn weird.
Go play intramurals, brother!
The first time Oregon, they opened it with Idaho, and the Big Ten logo is on the field at Autzen, that is going to be just bizarre.
It's already strange seeing some of those jerseys at Media Day with the Big Ten patch on them.
Yeah.
But at least now everyone knows that UCLA is in LA.
And
With USC.
So yeah. I liked that Deshaun Foster made sure that we know it's not just UCLA.
Should we replay that?
We should.
Because
it's amazing.
We may have a new audience now. Yeah. We'll do that next. If you didn't hear, you may not know what we're talking about there. Boy, I tell you what, Big Ten Media Day, the story today was Deshaun Foster's introductory 45-second press conference.
It's unbelievable.
It really is unbelievable. You'll hear that next on The Fan. All right, well, we're done sports, and we'll have the club next. But want to play this for you. We opened the show with this. And I will play it for you again in case you missed the opening of our program. The Big Ten Media Day, they threw up UCLA coach Deshaun Foster up there.
And they turns out they shouldn't have. Has anyone ever not sent their head coach? Like, you can send, like, you know, like a quarterback's coach or something.
Just give him a 3x5 card. Little
someone
card.
At UCLA should have been like, guys, we can't do this.
Maybe he thought there was going to be a teleprompter.
Or it's like sending Biden out to the debate stage. Someone should have been like, no, no.
Somebody did say that they thought maybe Deshaun was caught off guard, that he had to give a statement. He just thought maybe it was questions. And so then he didn't know what to say. Well, let's play it for you. It's only about a minute, and it's glorious.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A. It's us and USC.
It's like a four-year-old.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Oh, my God.
It's so
seriously
hard to listen to.
It's like a little kid giving a presentation.
It really is. I remember, like, when you got a little kid and they're telling you about their favorite show.
Yeah.
It's like if they're telling me about how great Blue's Clues is.
And there's green slime.
In fifth grade in our school district, every kid had to give a speech that was at least 3 minutes long to their class. And about half the kids did this. They'd get into a line and then they would just lock up and then like look around and I forget what I'm going to say. And now I'm panicking and I'm just going to sit here. It's so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there. First of all, there are a couple of overlooked things. One is, he's like, finally, a good brand is added to the Big Ten. Basically, is what he said, right? He's like, yeah. Finally, you know, these good brand. Like, dude, they have some pretty good brands in the Big Ten, buddy. Michigan just won the title.
UCLA is having to address this. Like, I guess he's taking it with like, he's taking it with some good nature. He says he understands he's going to go on and that people are going to make fun of it. And he said it was okay with that. He claims that
what happened?
Well, he said that, I guess he did this at a sidebar, you know, afterwards. He said he thought people were going to ask questions. He said that's why he was taking those pauses. He said he thought that as he was speaking, people would raise their hand to ask questions.
Oh.
And that's why he was like taking pauses, but no one asked questions, which I'm not certain.
I don't buy that.
Yeah. So he's saying I was filling? Like, no.
No, because at the end he said, are there any questions?
Yeah. He said,
well, why didn't you say that instead of just sit there?
Yeah. He says, I was going through my opening speech and I was just like, they'd rather ask me questions than me talking to them. I know some other coaches might gone up there and talk for 20 minutes and didn't give you guys anything. So I just thought people would call out for questions.
No, that's bullshit.
He says, now, if I was talking to my guys, the UCLA beat reporters, I might have talked the whole time. They asked me plenty of questions. You guys haven't asked a lot of questions, so I thought I'd give you guys an opportunity to ask.
Wrong. I don't buy
that's
that.
It's a bad backtrack.
That is such a bad backtrack. That is not true. He clammed up. He didn't know what to say.
Nah, it was brutal, dude.
And he said UCLA is in LA. He loses all credibility I believe nothing that guy says now. Because, dude, you got up there and told the media that you probably don't know much about our school. We're in LA.
UCLA.
Along with USC, just in case you didn't know. What?
It's like the large. Is Los Angeles or New York the largest city? Which one's one? Which
New
one's
York,
two?
New I York. Think New York's number
it's
one.
The second largest city in America.
It's in the name. UCLA.
And I love that he added.
No one is unfamiliar with them.
God, man.
He's talking like he's joined. That's like something James. Like if you're the head coach of James Madison. That's probably something that you have to go up and address.
Yeah, if James Madison makes the 12-team playoff and their coach has to do a presser and he's like, a lot of you guys might not know where James Madison is. We're actually in Virginia. Is that where they are? I think that's where they are.
I don't know. Where
but,
is James
Yeah, they're in Virginia.
But probably that would make LA. Sense. Not UCLA.
I know it'll never happen, but I want nothing more than for Dan Lanning to go up there and do the, I'm Dan Lanning, head coach, University of Oregon. We're in Oregon. If you don't know a whole lot about
it. Town called Eugene.
I want Lincoln Riley to do it too, to dig at his rival.
Bunch of liberal snowflakes there.
Lincoln Riley, we're USC. If you're not familiar with us, I don't know.
Well, he already did his, but that would be funny.
You don't know much about us, but we're in Los Angeles along with the other school.
UCLA. And he said they've won 123 championships. What?
Well,
is he talking all sports?
All sports, all athletics.
Is that accurate?
UCLA loves to tout.
They were the first. They were the first school to win 100, and then they changed the letter C in all of their imaging to be gold for the 100 that they won some years ago, and they made a big deal out of it.
Stupid.
The players that were there, I guess, are having to defend him too, and saying that he's a great guy and he's a great communicator. Like, they're all like, "Well, this is not.
He's probably great. I mean, we could give him another chance, but it's just like, man, dude, that backtrack is really weak."
I have a theory. I think the echo threw him off. Like, you could hear at the very beginning, he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And like, it sounds like he's in a big ass room, and there's a lot, and he's hearing himself talk, and he's like, "Oh boy, I didn't think it was going to be like this."
Well, and can we also admit that he's taking over low key one of the worst jobs in America? It's awful. Like,
it's a pretty bad inheritance.
It's just you come from a school that has no budget. You're hemorrhaging money, which is why you had to jump. You were irrelevant in the Pac-12 for the most part. You're irrelevant even more so in the Big Ten. You have to give $10 million a year to Cal for the weird, messy divorce. Chip Kelly just stopped coaching you and stopped recruiting. He left you with a bit of a barren wasteland there. And look, they hired you because you're cheap and you were there and no one else really wanted that job. Like, it's like when you take over, like when Gary Anderson took over at Oregon State, like, that was a bad job. Like, we know it. And, you know, there's some small places that it's a tough place to win at, and they can be tough jobs. UCLA should be a good job, and it just isn't. They just are usually not relevant in football. There's not. And especially now. So good luck. Good luck to Sean. Seems like a nice guy, but God, he may be in over his head and then some.
All right. Terrifying deal from the desert. What would you do? And geyser eruption news. Oh, and we have to talk about cocaine sharks as well.
Damn right.
A lot to get to in the club next on The Fan. All right, well, we're done sports, and we'll have the club next, but want to play this for you. We opened the show with this, and we'll play it for you again in case you missed the opening of our program. The Big Ten Media Day, they threw up UCLA coach Deshaun Foster up there.
And turns out they shouldn't have. Has anyone ever not sent their head coach? Like, you can send, like, you know, like a quarterback's coach or something.
Just give him a 3x5 card. A little
someone
card.
At UCLA should have been like, "Guys, we can't do this."
Maybe he thought there was going to be a teleprompter.
It's like sending Biden out to the debate stage. Someone should have been like, "No, no."
Somebody did say that they thought maybe Deshaun was caught off guard, that he had to give a statement. He just thought maybe it was questions. And so then he didn't know what to say. Well, let's play it for you. It's only about a minute, and it's glorious.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA. It's us and USC.
It's like a 4-year-old.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Oh, my God.
It's so
seriously
hard to listen to.
It's like a little kid giving a presentation.
It really is. I remember, like, when you got a little kid and they're telling you about their favorite show. Yeah. It's like if they're telling me about how great Blue's Clues is.
And there's green slime.
In fifth grade in our school district, every kid had to give a speech that was at least 3 minutes long to their class. And about half the kids did this. They'd get into a line and then they would just lock up and then like look around and I forget what I'm going to say. And now I'm panicking and I'm just going to sit here. It's so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there. First of all, there are a couple of overlooked things. One is, he's like, finally, a good brand is added to the Big Ten. Basically, is what he said, right? He's like, yeah. Finally, you know, these good brand. Like, dude, they have some pretty good brands in the Big Ten, buddy. Michigan just won the title.
UCLA is having to address this. Like, I guess he's taking it with like, he's taking it with some good nature. He says he understands he's going to go on and that people are going to make fun of it. And he said it was okay with that. He claims that
what happened.
Well, he said that, I guess he did this at a sidebar, you know, afterwards. He said he thought people were going to ask questions. He said that's why he was taking those pauses. He said he thought that as he was speaking, people would raise their hand to ask questions.
Oh.
And that's why he was like taking pauses, but no one asked questions, which I'm not certain.
I don't buy that.
Yeah. So he said, was filling? Like, no.
No, because at the end he said, are there any questions?
Yeah. He said,
well, why didn't you say that instead of just sit there?
Yeah. He says, I was going through my opening speech and I was just like, they'd rather ask me questions than me talking to them. I know some other coaches might gone up there and talk for 20 minutes and didn't give you guys anything. So I just thought people would call out for questions.
No, that's bullshit.
He says, now, if I was talking to my guys, the UCLA beat reporters, I might have talked the whole time. They asked me plenty of questions. You guys haven't asked a lot of questions, so I thought I'd give you guys an opportunity to ask.
Wrong. I don't buy that.
That's a bad backtrack.
That is such a bad backtrack. That is not true. He clammed up. He didn't know what to say.
Nah, it was brutal, dude.
And he said UCLA is in LA. He loses all credibility by, I mean, I believe nothing that guy says now. Because, dude, you got up there and told the media that, you probably don't know much about our school, we're in LA
UCLA.
Along with USC, just in case you didn't know. What?
It's like the large. Is Los Angeles or New York the largest city? Which one's one? Which
New
one's
York,
two?
New I York. Think New York's number one.
It's the second largest city in America.
It's in the name. UCLA.
And I love that he added.
No one is unfamiliar with them.
God, man.
He's talking like he's joined. That's like something if you're the head coach of James Madison, that's probably something that you have to go up and address.
Yeah, if James Madison makes the 12-team playoff and their coach has to do a presser and he's like, a lot of you guys might not know where James Madison is. We're actually in Virginia. Is that where they are? I think that's where they are.
I don't know. Where is James?
Yeah, they're in Virginia.
But that would make sense. Not UCLA.
I know it'll never happen, but I want nothing more than for Dan Lanning to go up there and do the, I'm Dan Lanning. Head coach, University of Oregon. We're in Oregon, if you don't know a whole lot about
it. Town called Eugene.
I want Lincoln Riley to do it, too, to dig at his rival.
Bunch of liberal snowflakes there. Yes.
Lincoln Riley, we're USC, if you're not familiar with us. I don't know.
Well, he already did his, but that would be funny.
You don't know much about us, but we're in Los Angeles, along with the other school.
UCLA. And he said they've won 123 championships. What?
Well,
is he talking
right.
All sports?
All sports. All athletes.
Is that accurate?
UCLA loves to tout.
They were the first. Yeah. They were the first school to win 100, and then they changed the letter C in all of their imaging to be gold for the 100 that they won some years ago, and they made a big deal out of it.
Stupid.
The players that were there, I guess, are having to defend him too, and saying that he's a great guy and he's a great communicator. Like they're all like, "Well, this is not.
He's probably great. I mean, we could give him another chance, but it's just like, man, dude, that backtrack is really weak."
I have a theory. I think the echo threw him off. Like you could hear at the very beginning, he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And like it sounds like he is in a big ass room, and there's a lot, and he's hearing himself talk, and he's like, "Oh boy, I didn't think it was going to be like this."
Well, and can we also admit that he's taking over low key? One of the worst jobs in America. It's awful. Like
it's a pretty bad inheritance.
You come from a school that has no budget. You're hemorrhaging money, which is why you had to jump. You were irrelevant in the Pac-12 for the most part. You're irrelevant even more so in the Big Ten. You have to give $10 million a year to Cal for the weird, messy divorce. Chip Kelly just stopped coaching you and stopped recruiting. He left you with a bit of a barren wasteland there. And look, they hired you because you're cheap and you were there and no one else really wanted that job. Like like when you take over, like when Gary Anderson took over at Oregon State, like that was a bad job. Like we know it. And you know, there's some small places that it's a tough place to win at, and they can be tough jobs. UCLA should be a good job, and it just isn't. They just are usually not relevant in football. There's not. And especially now. So good luck. Good luck to Sean. Seems like a nice guy, but God, he may be in over his head and then some.
All right. Terrifying deal from the desert. What would you do? And geyser eruption news. Oh, and we have to talk about cocaine sharks as well.
Damn right.
A lot to get to in the club next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.